Welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Neil Braganza, and joining me here in the studio is my wife of 25 years, Anna Braganza.
Hi, everyone.
We've been married now, like I said, 25 years. We're on our 26th year of marriage. Mm-hmm. We have five children. Our oldest is 25 years old, and our youngest is 8 years old. Mm. And our topic today is God's purpose for marriage. It's God's purpose for marriage. And I think this is such an incredible topic because marriage is under such an incredible attack.
Yes.
Today more than it has ever been before. Mm-hmm. And how we were discussing earlier that when Adam was by himself working in the Garden of Eden, you know, and he was naming the animals by their genus and by their species, like there was no attack on him. But mm-hmm. then as soon as the institution of marriage, as soon as marriage is instituted, there's yeah. immediately this incredible attack
yes.
on him because the devil hates, he despises.
Right.
Marriage. And we have so much to unpack today. We have mm-hmm. so much to talk about. So we hope to have a really wonderful, robust discussion and a conversation. And so let's get started.
So this is an amazing topic. Like, we've had such a great time in these last couple days and weeks thinking about marriage and the purpose of marriage. And like you said, God really loves marriage. God has instituted marriage. And similarly, Satan hates yes. marriage. Satan will do everything in his power to destroy marriage because it is one of, and we know that it's a divine institution. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to pause there for a second and just think, like, what does it mean that marriage is a divine institution? It is not mm. just a secular institution to sign a contract mm. and behave a certain way, but it is a divine institution. It's an institution of God. Mm. It's an institution by God.
Yes.
And it is for God. He has instituted marriage for himself. And I'm wow. really excited about talking about this topic as we unpack these questions. Have you ever thought about, like, does God have a plan for my marriage or for my family? Does my marriage include just me and my spouse or my family? Some of the questions suggested for today is my marriage for me or is it for me and my spouse together? Why did God give marriage as a divine institution? Why is it a divine institution? And why does God want man and wife to commit to each other in marriage? And these are some of the questions that we will answer today.
Yes.
When I was a little bit younger. Well, let's back up a little bit and think about the people that we might be addressing today, okay?
Yes.
Because there's all kinds of people sitting and wondering about marriage, especially today, right?
Yes.
What's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And I would say that the first kind of people that we're talking about are maybe single people. We're thinking about the young ladies, young gentlemen out there who are considering and maybe dreaming about marriage.
Yes.
They're dreaming about committing to another person for life and wondering what that all entails. Hmm. And for me personally, when that was a question in my heart, I really wanted to fall in love, you know, with a partner. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that I was expecting out of marriage were maybe stability, security, right?
Yeah.
Maybe someone to lead me spiritually if I'm looking for a Christian marriage. You know, mm-hmm. some of the things that I was also looking for was maybe someone who would provide for me financially mm-hmm. when I'm in my
all very honorable desires.
Very honorable desires, right? Yeah. But these are not wrong, right? These are not wrong intentions. I think yeah. God has put those things in our hearts
yeah.
instinctually to want yeah. those things.
Well, I'm thinking of, as you're thinking about young women, I'm thinking about the audience of young men who might mm. be watching, listening to this broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
And by young men, I mean anywhere from the ages of 18 through 30.
Mm-hmm.
And in that group, we might have a group of them that are desirous for marriage, that have a favorable outlook on mm-hmm. marriage. And then you might have in that same group a lot of people who are really apprehensive. They're really apathetic. They're really disillusioned. It's a possibility that they have come from a home where their parents were divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do not have a favorable outlook on it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are, what's the word, like they're afraid of rejection.
Yep.
That's a good one. Or they are absolutely emasculated.
Yes.
You know, and they're emasculated by watching, you know, by playing video games all night long. Yep. And watching porn.
Yeah, or how about this? Know? How about the rates of divorce today? 50% of marriages end in divorce. A young person might say, what is the point? Why would I put myself in that position?
It's 50%. 50% of first marriages that end in divorce.
Mm.
70% of second marriages that end in divorce. 80% of third marriages that end in divorce.
That's staggering.
Isn't that staggering? Yes. And so a young man who is considering this could have bought into the idea and say, why should I get married if my parents were divorced?
Mm-hmm.
And if these are the statistics, why should I even bother getting married?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I do wind up divorced, all I'm going to wind up with is 50% or more of my income mm-hmm. will be gone in child support payments and in alimony.
That's great.
And
yeah.
an incredible heartache.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I? Why should I even care about this topic?
Yeah. So,
right? But we are hoping to encourage them.
Exactly.
And I like those words that you used earlier of this being a divine institution.
Exactly. Yeah. God has something to say about this topic. And another group of people might be people who are recently married, a young couple who are maybe new to marriage, maybe struggling with their marriage. A couple of years now, you're really starting to feel the waves of life, you know, that come at you. And
mm-hmm.
and maybe your marriage is not built on a strong foundation, and you're wondering, what is the purpose of this struggle that I am in, you know?
Is it interesting that for young marriages, for people who've just gotten married, that falling in love, when you've fallen in love, it is nothing more than a romantic and a sexual attraction to another person.
Right.
And because we're talking about this topic today specifically, it does not involve any wisdom.
That's very true.
Falling in love does not involve any wisdom, which is why we say you've fallen into love, right?
That's
you
so
tripped
good.
Over your feet and you fell into love.
Yeah, and then you're in that situation where you find yourself saying, I didn't sign up for this.
Yes.
I didn't sign up for this. This is too hard. And you walk away
without
realizing that there's a deeper calling in marriage.
Yes.
How about seasoned marriages? People who've been married for long. We've been married for 25 years. But I think that as a seasoned marriage, even if you're walking with God, you can kind of get into an autopilot mode where every day is just you're going forward. You have your Christian activities. You know, you have your prayer time. But really, you might be in a place where, like, we're slowly drifting into a place of, how would you say it?
Apathy.
Apathy, maybe, in marriage, in your relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and really losing the real purpose of what it means to be together.
Hmm. So it, like, or even Christian marriages in our church, right, that have been under the word and that have been, but are in trouble. They've been under preaching, they've been in the church, but they're in trouble.
Right, because does it mean that you're a Christian marriage, that you're immune to crisis?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've answered that question. And the last, I would maybe say that marriages ended, maybe in divorce, right?
Mm.
And you asked the question, like, what was the purpose of that marriage? I tried, and I failed, and there can be a lot of shame and regret that comes with divorce, you know, and especially if you're in a Christian community. Obviously, we read in the Bible that God has made a provision for divorce. It is not, a cardinal sin by any means.
Yes.
And it is something that you can repent from and recover from.
Yes.
But there is an immense emotional baggage that comes with that. And you can very much be asking the question, what is the purpose of my marriage that failed, right?
Yes.
So we'll get there. So is the primary purpose of marriage to meet my needs, you know, meet my personal needs?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about some of the conventionally accepted wisdom for marriage of what we read. If we look up the meaning for marriage, right, in the Bible or in a secular way, we can.
Can I, on the other hand, can we call it the the horizontal purposes of marriage.
Yes.
That we find.
Yes.
And the reason I'm saying that is I'd like to differentiate that from what we discuss a little bit later in the program.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. I actually like that word horizontal because it implies that there is a purpose that God has intended for marriage to be between you and I.
Yes.
But it is not the vertical purpose that God intended marriage to be for himself when he designed marriage to glorify himself.
Yes.
What that means. But maybe we can talk about the horizontal meaning for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that is the purposes between the man and wife. It is maybe companionship, right? And we read in the Bible that it's not good for Adam to be alone.
Yes.
God never meant for man to be alone. And before sin even entered, he wanted Adam to have a companion.
Yes.
Amazing. Hmm. That is amazing. Another reason might be procreation, or is, go forth and multiply. We also read that in the Bible.
And we have.
And we we certainly have. How about unity and sexual intimacy?
Yes.
Right? This is very much a horizontal experience between you and I, something that we engage in. Enjoyment, taking pleasure in companionship. Aren't we supposed to enjoy each other's company?
Yes.
Absolutely we are. It is a blessing that God has intended for us.
Yes.
Right? And lastly, that what I would think is protection and security, that we have each other's back in life. Which is an amazing blessing, right, with a husband and wife.
That is a great list.
Yeah.
That is an amazing list, but it is still just really important to emphasize again that those are the horizontal purposes of marriage that we find in the Bible.
Yes, and it hit me that if we define marriage only in these terms and we don't allow God to show us what he has intended, any of these areas can be lacking.
Yes.
They can be deficient. Mm-hmm. And all of the sudden, my marriage is in trouble because, you know, let's say companionship is compromised. My spouse is no longer able to be a companion for, you know, for like any reason, really. How about sexual intimacy? Do we get attacked in that area? You know, and if any of these areas are deficient, we start saying something is wrong with my marriage.
Yeah. So in other words, we're saying that these are not the pillars, these are not the foundation.
Yes.
This is not the cornerstone on which we are building our marriage.
Yes.
They're that's all important. That's what God wants for us, but they're not the foundation.
Amen.
Yeah. So we were at a marriage seminar just yesterday, and Pastor Shallow spoke about wisdom, and I would just like to explore that a little bit further. And I'd like to read a verse from James chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. And verse 15 says, the wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. There's good fruit. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Mm. And I just first of all like to start by saying that we see here clearly that there are two kinds of wisdom. Mm. There is wisdom from above and then there is wisdom from below. Mm. And I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about wisdom from below because we do not want to build our pillars like we were saying. Our pillars for our marriage are not those horizontal purposes that you've spoken about. Mm-hmm. And we do not want to build our marriage or discuss the foundation for our marriage at the from wisdom that is from below or at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, and here's why. Like, let's unpack that for a moment. It's because wisdom from below, like we read again, is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Okay, and at the end there is confusion and every evil work. That is wisdom from below. At its best, at its very best, we will have a compatible relationship. We will have a good compatible relationship with wisdom from that is below. And that means we will learn to communicate with each other. We will learn to get along with each other. We can have a regular date night. We can respect each other's boundaries. We will have financial transparency. We can figure out and appreciate each other's love languages. Like, we will have all of that, but that is but that it is at its best. Mm-hmm. That is, wisdom from below at its best is a compatible relationship.
And that can that characterize marriages in the world and marriages in the church?
Most certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
But compatible relationships are, we can somehow think that compatibility is a sense of security.
Yes.
Right? That yes. That because we're compatible, that now we have security in our marriage.
And that it is enough for your marriage, but yes. It's not. It's
and not again, enough. If a crisis hits a marriage, mm-hmm. our compatibility is tested.
Yes.
And we cannot stand on that foundation. Yeah.
Perfectly said, yes. Yeah. But now on the other side, so mm-hmm. you have wisdom from below and you have compatibility at its best, mm-hmm. but then at its worst. Mm. At its worst, it will spiral into earthly, soulish behavior, mm-hmm. right? By soulish, it means that it is relying on feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel hurt. I feel so misunderstood. I feel constantly on the defensive. I feel like I constantly need to explain myself. Have you ever felt that way?
Yes, absolutely I have.
Right?
In fact, like when you look at culture today, like culture dictates very much what a marriage or a relationship should look like.
Yeah.
And if we're looking at secular wisdom, at how there's so much material out there, millions of books and millions of broadcasts of what the healthy marriage would look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I lean on those, I would very definitely end up very discouraged mm-hmm. and lacking again,
yes.
right?
But that is just the first one.
Yeah.
It's a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
So it is earthly, mm-hmm. which is the soulish side.
Mm-hmm.
Then it spirals into sensuality. It is mm-hmm. sensual. And by sensual, I mean that it is seductive.
It's
you know?
Attractive.
It
yeah.
is so attractive to mm-hmm. my flesh. My flesh is drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really attracted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is that it is devilish. And by devilish, it means that it will spiral to the demonic and will result in divorce.
Yes.
It will then result in divorce.
Yeah.
And this is because wisdom from below mm-hmm. is seeking of its own. It seeks its own.
Yes.
It does not seek the benefit of the other person. Ultimately, it is
yes.
seeking its own, number one.
Yeah.
It will never have any eternal significance.
Mm-hmm.
It will never have any impact on the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good one. It will look to meet the needs of my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to have the needs of my spouse met so long as my appetites are met first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My needs, my desires, if those are met first, mm-hmm. then yours will be met.
Yes.
Right?
That's a marriage with me in the middle.
Yes.
Not God in
with
the middle.
God in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're saying that wisdom from below mm-hmm. has no place in the church and should definitely not have any place in a godly marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's masquerading.
Mm-hmm.
It masquerades as wisdom from above.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
That's amazing. I just want to pause there and think about that for a minute. So if you're thinking that wisdom from below has no place in your marriage, then what is the purpose of marriage? What is the purpose of marriage? Mm.
So I feel it's like it's such a cliche thing to say this.
Yeah.
But it is to glorify God.
That's not cliche. That's amazing.
Yeah, but I feel like
yeah.
we hear that all the time.
Yeah.
So I want to spend a few minutes on that
yeah.
and like unpack that.
Yeah.
Because if you were to say to someone, to a, you know, you hear it in church,
right.
the purpose of marriage is to glorify God.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I want to read a passage here from John chapter 9,
mm-hmm.
Verses 1 to 3. And it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
Mm.
Okay?
Wow.
That's an interesting passage, and we generally don't read this passage.
Can you read that second part again?
When we're thinking about marriage, which
yeah.
part?
That it's neither have sinned.
Mm. Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents,
mm.
but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
So let's think about this for a moment. So we have this condition of marriage, okay? And it starts off from the very beginning, like the very premise of it, is that we have two sinful people with incredibly flawed backgrounds.
Yes.
They are flawed human beings from the very beginning. We have, from the minute they say, I do, we have a flawed marriage.
Yes.
Right? And when that marriage then winds up in trouble, if you would, like you have the disciples who would look at it and point at it and say, Master, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Is it the spouse's fault? Because
their upbringing.
Because of her upbringing?
Yeah.
You know, is it her parents' fault? Because they didn't raise her correctly? How about, is it the husband's fault? Because he comes from a really legalistic background?
Or should we
blame? Should we blame his parents as well? Like, whose fault is this? Like, whose fault is then this is? Who sinned? Is what the disciples are saying. Right? And Jesus responds and says, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
That is so amazing.
Okay, so first of all, to say this, it is really interesting that wisdom from below will always seek to assign fault.
Yes.
Right? Like, wisdom from below is going to assign fault either to the spouse, to the husband, or to the wife.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so can I ask a question?
Yes.
So the interesting part here is that wisdom from below might say that a marriage is two people coming together into a complete perfect union. And at the beginning, at the onset of their marriage, it's a flawless marriage. And the failures and the strife that we go through in life end up defiling the marriage. But what you're saying is that's actually not correct. What you're saying is that we are sinful people.
Yes.
We come together and our marriage is sinful from the beginning. There's nothing that we can do apart from God, right?
Absolutely.
The only sinless marriage was Adam and Eve.
Yes.
They are the only marriage that did not have sin when they were together at first.
Yes.
And it is through their decisions that sin has entered our marriage. There's no such thing as a sinless marriage.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. And I love it. I just want to emphasize this point again. That's Christ's response is, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And like, for the purpose of marriage, I could say the purpose of marriage is that the works of God would be made manifest in the husband and in the spouse and in the marriage.
Wow.
Right? And it's because it is God's commitment to the marriage.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not my commitment, right? It is God's commitment to the marriage.
Yes. When the marriage is of God for himself, he has made a commitment about marriage. So where does man and woman, when we make a commitment to each other, where does that fall into place? It's the point is that first God makes a commitment to us.
Yes.
And then we make a commitment to each other.
Oh, that's perfectly put.
But the balance and the foundation of our marriage is completely rooted in the fact that God has made a commitment to us first.
Yes.
Yes. About marriage.
Yes.
And we need to find out what that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you doing, babe?
Great. Good. This is really fun.
I love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
All right. So I just want to read from Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 right now. Okay. And it says, wisdom has builded her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. Wisdom has builded her house, and she has hewn out her seven pillars. And then also from Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, except the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain, and so on it goes. But I want to focus on, first of all, just for a moment, if we can just think about Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn out her seven pillars. And I like that word hewn, you know, because it suggests that wisdom has spent a long time, a long time in the quarry, a long time in the quarry, and has hewn out these seven pillars. Like, wisdom did not go to Home Depot and buy seven pillars to build this house. You know, and like, the point that I'm making here is that a troubled marriage cannot be fixed efficiently.
Yes.
A troubled marriage. Sometimes I think we think that if there's a marriage in trouble and I need counseling, I'm going to meet with the head pastor.
Yeah.
And he's going to give me these five verses. And when he gives me these five verses, my marriage gets fixed.
Yes.
You know, or he'll say something to me and my marriage gets fixed.
Yeah.
But we see here that like wisdom has hewn out its seven pillars.
Mm.
And like I have to spend that time.
Mm-hmm.
This is my part. This is our part together.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to hew out those seven pillars of our marriage, you know?
Yes.
And to also like, oh, here's an illustration. Is if I break my phone and I shatter it on the floor, I can take it to the phone store and they'll replace the glass,
mm-hmm.
and I now have my phone is brand new.
Yes.
Until I break it again.
Yeah.
Right? And I really think that is sometimes how we view our troubled marriages.
Yes.
That we can fix it as efficiently as that.
And isn't it more amplified now in this culture that we live in, this quick fix self-help culture, where we think that we can go to the library and borrow a book and tweak something to fix a marital problem?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We really have to recognize that a marriage is a battlefield, but it is a battlefield from the first marriage of Adam and Eve, where Satan came in and literally just came in and destroyed their marriage.
Yes.
Right? His attack was not against Adam and Eve. His attack was directly against God.
Yes.
And we, in this moment in time in our history, have to realize that our marital problems are not between my husband and myself and me, my kids and all these situations that are happening, but that our marital problems are Satan attacking the institution of marriage.
Yes. Yes.
Mm.
And I just want to come back again here to Psalm 127.
Yes.
And just talk about this now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that we say here, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, right? So who is building the house?
The Lord.
The Lord. It is his commitment. The Lord is building the house, and I am laboring in it.
Wow.
So God is building my house of marriage, and we are laboring in it. God is building my house of faith, and we are laboring in it. God is building my house of trust, and we are laboring in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can say that God is building my house of prayer, and we are laboring in it together.
Wow.
Right? Isn't that an amazing thought?
That's an amazing thought. Yeah.
And so, like, as we go back, as we continue now here, like I'm thinking of these seven pillars.
Yeah, I wanted to hear what you have to say about the seven pillars. What do you think that they are in our marriage?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I think that this is not an exhaustive list, but I think that for us, our list is we first have finished work.
Yes. Yes.
The second is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
The third is grace and mercy.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth is goodness. Fifth is truth. And sixth is holiness. And the seventh is God's promises.
Wow, that is amazing.
Now, I think that we could almost spend like another 45 minutes unpacking every one of these.
But I think we should talk about one of them. Yeah, I mean, a few of them at least.
Yes.
I think that, first of all, the cornerstone of our marriage is unconditional love. Right?
Yes.
Agape love.
Yes.
It's like if God has not loved us first, then we have no business loving each other.
Yes.
Right? I have nothing to give you. You know, a godly marriage is about me forwarding to you the unconditional love that God has given me.
Yes.
Right? And that is...
Yes. And I think that we see that your love will fail me.
Yes.
Your eros love will fail me. Your phileo love will fail me. Your storge love will fail me, and vice versa.
Yes.
And the only love that will not fail is God's love, is the agape love. And we read that in 1 Corinthians, love never fails. Everything else will fail. It's guaranteed that I'm going to fail you.
Yes.
But God's love does not fail.
Yes.
Not just love, right? Like it's God's love. Agape love does not fail.
Yes.
And this is why it is like it's so important that in our relationship that I learn on my own to receive God's love towards me.
Yes.
because I'm just a conduit.
Yes.
And I have to receive God's love towards me. Mm-hmm. And it's only then that I have agape love for you.
Yes.
It is not something that I can just produce. It is, I must receive it from him.
Yes.
Right?
That's so good. Like we think of a young couple at the altar saying their vows, and what a naive thought that I can love you through anything. We make those vows like, I promise to love you.
Yes.
Through everything. And then the stuff happens and you're like, well, I don't think I love you anymore.
Yes.
The only way we can get through those times is with God's love.
With God's
and
love.
And we all know that, yeah. Because yeah. we can become very unlovable very quickly.
Yes.
In a marital relationship. Mm-hmm. What about finished work? This is like one of my favorites, because if I consider like the worst thing that I've done in my marriage, and I'm sure we can all close our eyes and think about that moment where, oh man, I really messed up. I wish I hadn't done that. And how much damage we can do in a marital relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then if I consider the best thing, that like a real high that I've done in my life, like yeah. a high point, like I really forgave something, or I really experienced like a faith exchange with God about something, and it's a real high point for me, you mm-hmm. know, in a marriage. Can those things be a pillar of our lives? Like those experiential, you know, highs or lows? They cannot be, right?
No.
It is only what God has done
right.
for me. It is only what God has done that can be the pillar,
yeah.
right? The promise and the commitment that he has made to us that can be the pillar. Yeah.
So yeah. can I say it maybe like this, that what God did on the cross mm-hmm. is something that we celebrate in our lives. It's mm-hmm. finished work. Mm-hmm. What God is doing in our lives today mm-hmm. is something that is finished work, mm-hmm. right? And then, so in other words, if we erect any monuments, mm. in our home, it is not to what you have done or what I have done, mm. but we can say that we erect the monument solely to what God has done in our lives.
Yes.
And that is finished work.
Yes, it is finished work. Pastor Love said it once in a message, I remember. He said, we erect monuments and mm. we pay homage. You know, we pay homage to wow. monuments that are either failures or mm-hmm. our own personal victories. And that is not the reality of a Christian life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah.
How about grace and mercy between the two of us?
Well, so we've grace and mercy.
Mm.
Amazing grace. Say? Like, yeah. what can we say? It's amazing grace.
God giving
grace.
Us what we do not deserve.
Yes.
And God not giving yeah. us what we actually deserve.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And I think of this, you know, I think that we have learned being in our church for all of these years mm. that we say, we have been saved by grace through faith and not by works, let any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
And the verses like that kind of just roll off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And we say them so easily in such a glib manner,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we believe that. We believe that salvation is purely a work of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is purely a work of grace.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that somehow in our daily experience, like the feeling is that is that if I'm in a situation and if I'm drowning,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I'm drowning and now God throws some grace towards me as an emergency
mm-hmm.
and I grab hold, I'm pleading for grace and mm-hmm. he throws something out to me mm-hmm. and I grab it.
Mm-hmm.
But the point here is that grace is front loaded towards us.
Yes. That's
isn't
amazing.
Isn't that
yes.
a good thought? Like,
yeah.
like grace is front loaded towards me. It is not an afterthought. When yes. I'm struggling.
Or when you deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it is like, yeah. are you married? Like God is saying to us, you have grace for this situation.
Yes.
You have an abundance, you have manifold grace.
Yes.
Manifold grace for the situation.
Yes.
I'm front loading it in advance.
And can we then experientially front load grace to each other?
Oh,
like
yes.
We love this idea. You and I talk about it a lot as this clean slate idea, right? Like
yes.
you've got to give the other person a clean slate. You cannot hold on. We cannot hold on to things in the past. We have to let go. And as we let go, we are front loading grace to the other person and saying, don't worry
Amen.
About it. Just keep going. I'm here with you.
Yes.
Just keep going. You
yeah.
know? Yeah. God's holiness. Oh, I love this one. Like God is so holy. He is so holy. And one of the pillars of our marriage is like God is so unchanging.
Mm.
His love is so unchanging and he is so holy. Next to him, I stand I stand so unholy. You know, of course, I have the righteousness of Christ in me, but I'm saying in my flesh, I could not do this without the God, without God's holiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think of Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40 here. Okay. And Jesus said unto him that you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Okay? Bada bing. Yeah.
So, well, the point here is that in terms of holiness, is that God's holiness demands, if you would, that we love him first. You know? And I've read this verse in the past, and I've thought, that is, I mean, it seems so, it seems like such a selfish thing to say in a way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and then you shall love your neighbor. But I've come to realize that that verse is not for God. That verse is is for us.
It's why the question of idolatry is so so big in the Bible, right?
It's like, if I have love, if I'm loving God, then I have love for you.
Yes. And can I love my marriage above God? Can I make my marriage an idol where I worship and I spend a lot of time thinking about my marriage and the problems therein and not loving God in it at all, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also think of it in terms of loss, right? If I experience loss in my marriage, but if I love God first, I'm going to be okay.
Yes.
You shall love God first, and then you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes.
And in our marriage, it is so important, as we, and this is why holiness is one of those pillars, is that my allegiance to my God is first. That I shall love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, and mind. And then I have love for you.
Yes.
And vice versa.
Yeah. And it is, that's agape love, and that's the love that we are going right back, you know, to the foundation of our marriage, which is agape love. And then the last one I want to mention is God's promises between us two. When we're thinking about the hardest times that we've ever gone through in our marriage, what really has gotten through us through those times is rehearsing God's promises. Not promises that I can make to you because I will break them. Not promises that you can make to me, but promises that God has made to me that are everlasting and sure. You know, and we find those in his words, and to really rehearse together God's promises for our marriage.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a pillar for us.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. In conclusion, I just wanted to talk about one last verse.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. It's not really relevant to what we're saying right now, but it's in Genesis 2:18. It says, it is not good for man to be alone. I shall make him a helpmate. It is not good. And there is just the my nature in this that I want to assume that by helpmate, God means a secretary. You know, like that I should not be alone, and I shall make him a helpmate. And so my wife is my secretary, that she is my cleaner, that she does the bills in the house, that she takes care of the children.
Sign me up.
Yeah. It's an offer no woman can refuse. But like we find that the word helpmate is actually to be strong, to rescue, and to save. To be strong, to rescue, and to save. And this, what this means is that my spouse, yes, you are my helpmate, and I'm yours too. Is that my spouse is the instrument that God is using to take me to the cross.
Yeah.
You know, my spouse is the instrument. She's my helpmate in that regard. That's what she is there for. She's my helpmate, that she is taking me to the cross and she leaves me at the cross. You know, because this is where we get to experience death, burial, and resurrection life.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that to all of you out there who are married, like stay with it.
Yeah.
And like fight, Like, yes. Fight so hard. Fight for it with everything that you've got.
Yes.
There's nothing that is more important.
Yeah.
There's nothing that is more important. Your business, your career, mm-hmm. your home, like none of those things are as important as your mm-hmm. marriage. Fight for it with everything.
Fight for it and to work to hew with God those pillars for your marriage. Like I was going to say that, like we can in our marriage, if we make the horizontal purposes for marriage, which are such a blessing, aren't they, when we yes. have those and those things are in balance. And I think that they're actually more in balance when you're walking with God, you know?
Yes.
Those things fall into place. However, like if we make those things the pillars of our marriage, mm-hmm. let me read for you. This is great because Pastor Schaller touched on this at the marriage seminar. It's in Hosea 10. Israel is a luxuriant vine that mm. yields its fruit. He's talking about Israel in idolatry. The more his fruit increases, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. Their heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt, and the Lord will break down the altars and destroy their pillars.
Wow.
Like if I make things that are not of God for himself, if wow. I make those things a pillar of my life, one of those things can crumble and completely destroy my marriage, you know?
But that's also God's faithfulness to us, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, absolutely. So like I was going to say a similar, you know, word of encouragement in the end. Like,
yes.
Are you afraid if you're single? Are you afraid that you might not get married or you might find that person in your life? Mm. Or are you divorced and you've lost a marriage, you know? Or are you in a long, hard, you know, season of difficulty in your marriage, like just get busy hewing those pillars.
Wow.
Those are the eternal things in marriage that God intended us to experience. And even if you're not married yet, hew those pillars.
Yes.
They will be applicable. They will be a sure foundation for your marriage in the future. And yes. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to start this building work with God, you know, yes. in your personal marriage. And the last thing that I want to, then I'll let you close out the show, but John Piper in This Momentary Marriage said that so beautifully, marriage mm-hmm. is a showcase. Marriage is God's showcase.
Wow.
In which we showcase God's love, right? If you have one of those cupboards in your home where you've put your grandmother's old china,
yes.
right? We are that china cabinet for God where he is displaying not us, not our children, not our, you know, what we can accomplish, but his love.
Yes.
His grace. That is what he is displaying in our lives.
Yeah.
His forgiveness.
Yes.
His godly submission, godly intimacy, godly headship. And to experience these things, like we sometimes go through a lot of trouble, don't we?
Yes.
There's a lot of suffering to gain these attributes in our lives. But I think it's just wonderful. And when we're not just called to, you know, go forth and multiply in terms of children, like you said, we have, you know, just to produce physical life, but to also reproduce spiritual life, you know.
Spiritual fruit.
The purpose of marriage is that God would be glorified and that our lives would bear forth spiritual fruit.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thought.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we hope that this has been really edifying for people, you know,
yes.
for married people and for non-married people to be start praying about these foundational yes. Issues in marriage.
And pardon our rambling and stumbling words, but yeah.
Yeah. We love you guys
and
we're praying
Thank
for all
you.
The marriages. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.